Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Open your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 2. I want to ask you a question this morning. Has anyone here ever been bored with God? Not at CIU. Not at Columbia International University. Has anybody ever been bored with God? How about for an hour? How about for a day? How about for a week or a month or for a season of your life? Bored with God. Maybe because he disappointed you, or you're depressed, or you're just flat out bored. This morning, I want to address that and ask the question, what happens when I get bored with God? What happens when someone gets bored with God? And because a lot of you are shaking your heads, no. If you're not bored yet, just keep on living. Life has a way of running you down, and there may be moments where you're tempted. Maybe you won't do it, but you'll be tempted to be bored with God because God isn't doing what you've asked him to do. Well, since you've never been bored with God, let me ask Judah. Judah, have you ever been bored with God? And Judah says, yes, I have. I've been bored with God. And in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 2, and also verse 32, you see Judah is not maintaining her honeymoon-type love for God. Matter of fact, Judah starts off deeply in love with God, and somewhere along the way, she's lost her praise. She's lost her enthusiasm for God. She's lost her intentionality for God. Matter of fact, now she's flirting with other gods. She's become a little bored with God. I had someone just ask me just the other day, is it possible to maintain honeymoon type love? I'm from a small town, Dillon, South Carolina, and most folks around there own a pickup truck. And when someone starts to date someone, you can tell because there's no room in the truck. I mean, they're sitting right beside one another. Air can't even get between them. But just as soon as the honeymoon is over, they tend to drift further and further apart. Now one is clinging to their door while the other one is clinging to their door. Now you can drive a night truck between their love. I want our students to maintain a passionate love for God, to never get bored with God, to never flirt, to never be tempted to leave God. I want our students to be so passionately in love with God that this will become an irrelevant sermon to them because they're so in love with God. But Judah says, be warned, because God has two things against us. If you have your Bible open, look at verse 13 with me. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, he says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountains of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Can you believe it? Here's what Judah has done. Two evils. They've forsaken God, the fountains of living water, their refreshment, their source, and dug for themselves cisterns that can't even hold water. Is it possible? Well, at least in Judah's day, it's possible. If you have your Bible open here in Jeremiah chapter 2, let me give you a picture of how this first evil happened, that that they forgot, they forsaken me and the fountains of living water. In verses 4-8, here's what the Lord says to Judah. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord. What injustice have your fathers found in me, that they have gone far from me, having followed idols, and have become idolaters? What fault did they find with me? Neither did they say, where is the Lord who brought us out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no one crossed and where no one dwelt. I brought you into a bountiful country to eat its fruit and its goodness. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my inheritance an abomination. The priests did not say, where is the Lord? And those who handled the law did not know me. The rulers transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that did not profit. Can you imagine this? The house of Jacob, Judah, Israel, they forgot what God had done for them. They forgot what God did for them in the wilderness. They forgot what God did for them by bringing them out of Egypt, keeping them in the wilderness, bringing them into the promised land. As a matter of fact, not only did they forget, but they actually turned to other gods. They started flirting with other gods. This isn't the first time in Israel's history something like this has happened, where they turned to other gods, where they started flirting with other gods, where they abandoned their God. Can you imagine someone being so good to you that they pay all of your bills? Okay, I'm in the wrong church for this one. Can you imagine someone being so good to you until they come up to you and say, I want to pay all of your tuition for all of your years? I'm in the right church now. For all of your years at CIU, I want to pay all of your tuition. Not only do I want to pay your tuition, I want to take care of your room and board. I'm in the wrong church. Not only do I want to take care of your tuition and room and board, I want to take care of all of your books. I want to take care of all of your expenses, even Walmart. I'll take care of all of your... Okay, finally, I'm at the right place at the right time. And watch this. They're taking care of you on this grand level. But when you see them in the cafeteria, you won't even speak. You won't even wave. Matter of fact, you're trying to find somebody else that you can have lunch with because you're tired of looking at them. Even though they've done so much for you. It's just like Judah. Judah had a God that watched them, cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. God had been taking care of them, manna in the wilderness. God had been taking care of them, brought them into a land that was filled with milk and honey. I mean, God was a full-time lover. But at best, they didn't want to be a part-time lover because they abandoned God. And I know, for some of you worshipers sitting here, you go, it's not possible. It's not possible. But look at Judah. Judah was a worshiper too. And for Judah, they just got sick of God and decided to flirt, to abandon God, and to take on idols. They took on Baal. Matter of fact, in verse 8, it says there, their prophets prophesied in the name of Baal. Their priest says, where is God? Because the priest didn't even seek God. I mean, it gets pretty bad here. I mean, he said, you defiled the land, the inheritance which I've given you. Brothers and sisters, if you look at verse 5, he reminds us, he says, what injustice did I do? What did I do wrong? To get your forefathers to leave me and the chase after idols. I want to ask us, what would have to happen in our lives for us to get bored with God and to leave God and to chase idols? You know, how do we know when we're bored with God, when we're chasing other idols? I'm glad you asked. Whenever you stop praying and whenever you stop doing your devotions and reading his words to get your marching orders, it won't be long before you get bored with God. Whenever you get away from the things of God and even the people of God, one author said it this way, the lack of spiritual fellowship will lead to the lack of spiritual enthusiasm. When you're not around people that you can rub together and get that spiritual fellowship from, it won't be long before you become bored with God. And here's what he says to the house of Jacob. Here's what he says to Judah. He said, this is an evil that you've done, that you have abandoned me, that you've left me. Now, there's a second evil that's in this text as well. Not only that you have abandoned me, the fountains of living water, but notice the second evil that's in this text. Here it is, verse 13. And you've hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You dug for yourselves, and see, that should be a problem right there. You dug for yourselves cisterns, wells that can't hold any water. You've abandoned God, the fountain of living water, to dig for yourselves cisterns that can't hold any water. You know, I started to ask myself, what are some of the cisterns that we build and we try to dig in 2019. Maybe it's the cistern of wealth where we're trying to dig, see how much money can we make. Or maybe it's the system of power. Or maybe it's the cistern of fame or for pleasure. Whatever it may be, if you begin to dig it for yourself, it won't be long before you abandon God and you have a cistern that can't hold any water. Well, verses 9, 10, and 11, and 12, if you still have your Bible open, it gives me a picture of how this second evil occurs in the life of Israel. Verse 9. Now, notice we just got through talking about the prophets and the priests. One asking, where is the Lord? And the other one saying, I'm a prophesy in Baal's name. I mean, that's extreme. But here's verse 9. Therefore, I will yet bring charges against you. This is God says, I'm going to bring an accusation against you, says the Lord. And against your children's children, I will bring charges. For pass beyond the coast of Cyprus and see. Send the kinder and consider diligently and see if there has been such a thing. Yet a nation changes its gods, yet are not gods, but my people have changed their glory. For what does not profit? Verse 12, be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horrified, afraid, horrifiably afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, listen to me carefully. They're digging wells that can't hold any water. Notice what the Bible's saying. God says, I'm bringing this charge against you. He said, you can look as far as to the east as you can look. You can look as far as to the west. This has never been done where somebody has abandoned their God. Verse 11, other nations will change the rank of their gods and even add other gods to their collection of gods, but they never abandon their gods. But he says, yet you've abandoned your glory, You've left your God. You've abandoned your God. You're digging for yourself cisterns. You're digging for yourself wells that can't hold water. It's almost as if he says, who does this? Who does this? Yet God's people find themselves, instead of having some pure water, like Aquafina, y'all ain't saying that. Like having pure water, they have dirty water, disgusting water, leaky water, muddy water, because they've left their God. As a matter of fact, in verse 12, it says, be astonished. You should be like, you should, oh heavens, and be horrified. This should horrify you. You should be afraid of this. You should say, who does this? God's people should never get bored with him, to abandon him and to dig wells for themselves. So my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me. The fountains of living water. Someone that's willing to undergird you. Someone that's willing to take care of you thoroughly. Matter of fact, you've left your honeymoon kind of love. You've stopped being close to him and you're clinging to your own door. You're clinging to your own way. And he says, secondly, you're digging for yourself wells that can't hold water. Now, who am I talking to here this morning? You're starting another semester. You're already in the hustle and bustle of syllabus shock. You already have more assignments than you know how to do. Y'all still working with me, aren't you? And you're working feverishly. You're saying, man, I can't get it all done. And you're already overwhelmed. And God is saying, are you drawing your refreshment, your source from me? Or have you found another source? Or have you started looking for another source? You know, today is the church. This is the church fair day during this hurricane season in South Carolina. As the wind blows outside and as the rain starts to come down, what's going on with you today? Have you connected with a place where you can grow? Because the lack of spiritual fellowship will lead to the lack of spiritual enthusiasm. Have you connected with a place outside of, I hear you. Somebody just said this. You want to hear what they just said? They said that CIU is my church. If I come to chapel all week, that's enough for me. Amen. And I want to tell you that CIU is not your church. CIU is a place where we come and study and worship our God, but it's not your church. It's not a place where you can connect and say, hey, I'm here, sign up. I'm here to be accountable. I'm here to share my gifts. I want to do my service in this church. As you saw the CSL video, it should have inspired you to say, what can I do to bring glory to God in our local churches? How can I help? Don't go find the perfect church. Find a church that's perfectly fitted for you that you can serve and use your spiritual gifts in. You know, if you want to escape these two evils, I think one of the best ways, one of the primary vehicles of blessings that God has left us in this day and time is the church, where you can become a part of a small group, where you can become a part of the worship experience, where you can help teach and do evangelism and work in the media arts, where you can serve. And that's why we have so many people on campus today. This is not a day off for us. This is a day on for us to say, you know what? I want to find somewhere that I can connect. I heard you. I have a church back home that I'm still connected to. If back home is 500 miles away, you need your church in this local community. You need a church that you can connect to right here and right now. You need a place that you can call home while you're in seminary, while you're in undergrad, while you're doing your counseling program. You need a place that you can call home right here. Why? Because the like of spiritual fellowship leads to the like of spiritual enthusiasm. I want to make sure that we're never tempted by these two evils to forsake God, the fountains of living water, and to dig for ourselves cisterns that can't hold water. Maybe this is not your first year at CIU. Maybe this is your second and third year, or maybe you're in your fourth year, and you say, well, I never found a church while I'm here, and I'm doing pretty well. I'm doing pretty good on my own. Yeah? But how much better could you do if you connected with a local church, with a local body, and say, you know what? I want to grow and be a part of the Lord's church. I want to encourage you today. We have churches here, great churches in our community that have come to share, that have come to recruit, that's come to roll out the red carpet for you today. So as you leave here today, say, you know what, Lord? Lead me and guide me to the place that you'd have me to be. Because I don't want to lose my honeymoon love while I'm studying his word. I don't want to lose my honeymoon love for him while I'm doing papers for Croto. I mean, Crutchfield, that's what I meant. Not Croto, not you. I don't want to lose my honeymoon love while I'm doing all of these assignments. I want to stay right next to you. You know, my daughter is a junior here, Adriana. She was just singing up here, and she's passionate about the Lord. And someone told her when she was getting ready to go to college, you don't have to go to church as much as you used to. And I told Adriana, I said, Adriana, you need to go to church more than you used to, because you need to keep that fire stirred in your soul. And I'm glad to see her fire still burning. Even with all the ups and downs of college, her fire is still burning to this day. And you know what? I want every last person in this room to experience that passionate love relationship with God and never be tempted by these two evils. Don't forsake God, your fountain of living water, and dig for yourself cisterns that can't hold any water. Amen? 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 Amen. Amen. Let me pray for us today. Father, as we start a new semester, we're in the second week. I pray today that we not forsake you. I pray when tests comes, when papers come, when times get difficult, when the person I'm sitting beside right now used to be my boyfriend or girlfriend, but now they're my ex, and now I'm dealing with that while I'm here, that I don't lose my honeymoon love for you. I pray today, Father, that you help us rise above this temptation, that Father, that we connect with a local church, that we plug in, that we share our spiritual gifts, that we have a family even outside the CIU bubble that will watch over us while we're here. And Father, I pray for that person who may be sitting under the sound of my voice today, that's already digging their cistern, that's already digging their well. I pray today, before we leave chapel, that they drop their shovel. And Father, trust you, their fountain of living water, to supply every last one of their needs. This is your servant's prayer now, and I pray for a successful year here at CIU. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You are dismissed.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.